I've chosen Psalm 46 to speak on this week, and I'm going to start by reading it in the Message version. Later we'll hear it in the NIV, but this is the Message version of Psalm 46. God is a safe place to hide, a ready help when we need him. We stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in sea storm and earthquake, before the rush and roar of oceans, the tremors that shift the mountains. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies, protect us. River fountains splash joy, cooling God's city. The sacred haunt of the Most High. God lives here. The streets are safe. God at your service from crack of dawn. Godless nations rant, rave. Kings and kingdoms threaten, but earth does anything he says. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies, protect us. Attention all, see the marvels of God. He plants flowers and trees over all the earth, bans war from pole to pole, breaks the weapon across his knee. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Jacob, wrestling God, fights for us. God of angel armies, protect us. I'm reading from Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 onwards, almost a commentary on Psalm 46, in that it explains what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 46 and reminds us that God is ever triumphant over our situations. So verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans and searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those whose God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We give thanks for such powerful words in Jesus' name. Thanks, Anne.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
I think Psalm 46 is my favourite psalm. And I think this week, as Jean has already said, we've seen so many things go wrong, so many things that are stressful. Not alone this emergency telephone buzzer that went off on Friday, which just adds to the uncertainty that many of us face at this particular time, the difficulties that we face. It's believed that this psalm was composed during a time of war. Possibly it was Sennacherib's invasion of Israel. We don't know for sure. But whatever the original setting was, it's a great time of upset and disruption. A great comfort this psalm was during the First and Second World Wars, as we remember what destruction war brings. And Psalm 46 declares one bold truth. God is our refuge, strength, and ever-present help, even when everything around us collapses. The psalm doesn't promise a life without trouble. It promises a God who is unshakable in the midst of trouble. So we look at first God's protection. The calamities that this psalm talks about, mountains collapsing, rising seas, violent storms, earthquakes, could have been written this week, couldn't it? Amazing. Worst possible situations, the whole world give way. In Tokyo and in California, many skyscrapers are built with shock absorbers deep into the foundations. And when the earth shakes through the earthquakes that they experience, the building doesn't resist rigidly. It flexes and it absorbs and stands. I wouldn't want to be in one of those buildings when it happens. But people inside may feel the tremor, but the structure holds because there's deep foundations and there's flexibility. And Psalm 46 tells us that God is a shock absorber for the soul. It doesn't deny the shaking. It tells us why we don't fail when everything else does. It's one of the reasons I chose that song that we sung, "Where Feet May Fail," reminding us of Peter walking out onto the sea and keeping his eyes on Jesus and not sinking. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink into the water. What's the worst thing you could imagine happening to you? Sorry to be a bit of a downer on this. But put yourself there. What are you scared of happening to you? This week, on Thursday, when the trial derailment happened, my daughter Gemma was travelling up from London to see us by train, and we had no idea until it told us where exactly it was. And for that moment, that short moment, there's that, oh no, what's happened? What are you scared of happening to you? Loss of job, health, family? Everyone knows that moment when the phone rings and life divides between the before and after. A diagnosis, a job loss, somebody upsets you, a sudden death. Psalm 46 speaks into that moment. It says, God is not distant, he is very present. Not eventually present, not turning up late like some bus, but theoretically present. Not theoretically present, not spiritually present in some vague way, but the psalmist says that he is very present right now in trouble. Jesus is here. So if we take just a moment to consider what we fear most, we can have confidence. God is our refuge and our strength. For the psalmist, it was unwaverable. Like a lighthouse constructed and built in order to resist the worst that the seas can throw at it, so we are established in God's foundation. We may lose all. The worst could happen. There's never a guarantee that it won't. But the psalmist says, even if it does, we will not fear. I think it tells us that we don't need to be strong because God is our strength. I think it tells us that we don't need to run because God is our refuge. And we don't need to pretend because God is our help. God is our refuge in the very presence of trouble. And then we have God's provision. God has provided the psalmist with an unseen security. He talks about the river. He talks about the water that God brings to us. Now, Jerusalem has no physical river. So it says there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? But the psalmist is talking of a spiritual supply. God himself flowing into his people. A village once suffered drought, wells dried up, crops failed, people panicked. But one farmer remained calm. When asked why, he pointed to a pipe running underground from a distant spring. Everyone else depends on the weather, he said, but I depend on the source. Psalm 46 says that you have a hidden source, a source of spiritual water, so that when your emotions dry up, when your energy drains, when your hope feels thin, God's river still flows. So the application is, joy doesn't come from circumstances, it comes from the river. Peace doesn't come from stability, it comes from the river. Strength doesn't come from personality, it comes from the river. What Jerusalem did have was Hezekiah's tunnel. Hezekiah's tunnel is a tunnel that you can still go to now, underneath Jerusalem, where the water flows into the city from a stream, from an underground source. And it's this unseen reserves of water that kept Jerusalem strong in times of siege. Therefore, Jerusalem never fell to enemies because of hidden resources. We too have hidden resources. God gives us the grace to continue and survive. And when we want to surrender and give up because we feel that we have taken as much as we can, God says we have a stream from which we can drink. Not to be removed from the situation, but given the grace to survive it. And then it talks about the city. And Jerusalem stood on top of a hill and was notoriously difficult to conquer. It was a place everyone ran to from the outlying districts. Whenever there was a calamity, they would all cram into Jerusalem itself and have the safety of the walls of the city and the height of the city protecting them. And this metaphor adopted by the psalmist for the refuge that God provides, the city that refers to the New Jerusalem as hinted in the Old Testament and described in detail in the book of Revelation. It says that one day we will live in the city of God and finally be safe forever. And then there's God's preeminence. God's preeminence, the preeminence of Christ. The comfort the psalmist takes from all his reflections is simply this: God is bigger. God is always bigger than the crisis. Think of his power. Psalm 46, verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations that he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease with the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. This is the power of the God we worship, the God that we have trust in. As much as the warriors on earth may think that they have power, God is bigger. Those who put their trust in nuclear weapons and in drones and in armies, God is bigger. Landmines, tanks, planes, ships, bombs, whatever nations put their trust in, God is bigger and more powerful. And then it says, express that confidence. Express that confidence. Psalm 46, verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. Sometimes we need to express in words or deeds where our confidence is. The Old Testament has numerous examples where the people of God pronounce victory before the battle has even been fought. This is not blind confidence, but faith. Our God is bigger. And he says, he makes the wars to cease, he breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. And the psalmist shifts from personal crisis to global chaos. Nations rage, kingdoms totter. But God speaks and the earth melts. During World War II, General Dwight Eisenhower was known for walking in the front lines before major battles. Soldiers said his presence changed everything, not because the danger changed, but because we changed, because he was with us. Psalm 46 says, the God of our ancestors, of our predecessors, walks with the front line in our battles. He doesn't send help from afar. He steps into the conflict itself. God is not intimidated by your enemies and your troubles. God is not overwhelmed by your circumstances. God is not confused by your future. He breaks weapons formed against you. He ends battles you cannot end. He brings peace where you cannot. And then lastly, God's peace. God is our stillness in the storm. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. This is not a gentle whisper. This is a command spoken into chaos. It means stop fighting battles that belong to God. Stop trying to control what you cannot control. Stop trying to do what God has already offered to carry. Psalm 46 says, you don't stay safe because you hold on to God. You stay safe because God holds on to you. Being still is not inactivity. It is trust. It is surrender. It is confidence. It is rest. In fact, the phrase is best probably translated as shut up and think. And what happens when trouble comes? We think of the impossible. We think of what might happen, what the worst could be. We chatter and we wonder and we worry and we get concerned. And God says, shut up and think. Pause for thought. When the crisis calmed, the psalmist says, stop. There was a book that was released some years ago, back in the 80s, Your God is Too Small. There was a sequel, and the book was called Your God is Still Too Small. That's often our problem. God is too small. And the psalmist says, be still and consider. I remember once taking time to go into London from college on a retreat day, and I went to St. Paul's Cathedral. And I went in and I just sat there and I looked at this vast building given to the glory of Jesus. And I thought to myself, this is amazing. This is huge. And sometimes we need to stop and think about our God and say, how big is he? How wonderful is he? How is it possible? Whenever the world crowds in, be still. Whenever your heart is heavy, be still. Whenever the worst possible happens, be still. It means stop physically. Find time to be still and think to yourself, God, where are you in this situation? Pray pray with feeling. Seek Jesus and seek his mind in scripture, in prayer, in quiet meditation, in fellowship. In all these things, we seek the peace of God in the most difficult of situations. So I say in conclusion this, when you are worried, remember God is bigger. Pause and think about how God is bigger. Express how God is bigger. In verse 11 it says, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Sometimes just remember that God is our fortress. And the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And there's a word there that occurs in the Psalms, and it's not mentioned there, but it is in elsewhere. And it's the word Selah, which means pause. Pause, be still, and know that God is great. Let's pray together. Father, we all face difficulties at one time or another. We face situations which seem impossible to overcome. But our God is bigger. We live in a world which is facing difficulty and calamity, war, earthquakes, rumors of wars. Our God is bigger. We face individual situations where money is tight or life is hard. Our God is bigger. May we, Lord, remember and proclaim with lips of praise, God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.